Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Herd, Nick Wright in for Colin Cowherd. And we're going to find out today, Joy Taylor, if I could have had another career as an actor. Because we're going to see if I can go 3 straight hours pretending to not be just mentally, emotionally, and maybe most importantly, financially ruined. That's what we're going to find out. How are you doing this morning out in L.A.?
I'm great. I am not financially ruined because that's not where I find my thrills. Although I do gamble and did lose every single one of my bets yesterday. I'll be all right. I was enjoying watching greatness, Nick. That's what happened yesterday.
That is what happened yesterday. If you all of a sudden start seeing a lot more Fox Bet ads all over the network, just know that I personally funded them. Just know Fox Bet's like, wow, we have all this extra money. Let's throw it into a marketing budget. So congrats to the folks at Fox Bet. Congrats to Tom Brady for ring number 7. We're going to get to Brady in just a moment. We're going to get to, I think on Mondays, Joy, Colin does where Colin was wrong, where Colin was right.
Yes.
He does that for a segment on Mondays, right?
Yes.
Well, we could do a whole hour, a whole show, a whole week of where Nick was wrong and it just be repeated Tom Brady takes. We'll do something like that at 1 o'clock Eastern time. But where I want to start here quickly is with the MVP of the game, and that's Todd Bowles. And we'll get to Brady in 90 seconds, but first, let me give credit where it's due. What Todd Bowles did and what that defensive front did was wreck the entire game. Now, that's not a unique take. People are going to have that take throughout the day. If you watch the football game, you understand that's what happened. But the way he did it, I don't know if people understand. Todd, that game yesterday was the least any Todd Bowles team has blitzed in 5 years. The way he approached that game saying, you know what? You know what I love to do? You know what has gotten me here? Play man-to-man coverage and send people at the quarterback. Nope. We're going to play too high safety for 90-plus percent of the game. We're going to trust that our front four can whoop your beleaguered offensive line. And we are going to see if what had been an unstoppable offensive attack for 3 years can finally be stopped. And it was. And I understand the Bucs have excellent defensive players, but they are not the Purple People Eaters, and they looked like that last night, and that is where Todd Bowles gets massive credit. And to partially steal a take from my buddy Kevin Wilds, I know all the head coaching jobs are full, but if I'm a team, I am at least calling a meeting and saying, how happy are we with our head coach? Particularly if I'm, a team in the AFC West, like say the Denver Broncos, that is running it back another year with Vic Fangio, that maybe I say, you know what? Todd Bowles just did this to Patrick Mahomes. We got to go through Patrick Mahomes. Let's quietly contact his agent, see if he'd be available. So Todd Bowles, that coaching staff, Shaq Barrett, JPP, Sue, Vita Vea, those awesome linebackers, Devin White and Levante David, they are the story of yesterday. But the story of the season, and the story that is most interesting big picture, is, of course, what this means for Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, who is just, you know, for some, the greatest person ever come into their sports life. And for the rest of us, just the for so many years, the bane of so many of our existences. And when we were watching Tom Brady yesterday, I know a lot of the discussion was the NFL GOAT combo. Can Mahomes make this a discussion, or can Brady put it out of reach forever? The answer to that is actually option C. Brady didn't put it out of reach forever, but there is now a Bob Beamon in the long jump in 1968 style gap between first and second. It is so large, it's incomprehensible that anyone come even close to it anytime soon. All the quarterbacks that have more than two rings are retired. The only quarterback active with two rings is Big Ben, and he is semi-retired. And then there's Pat and Aaron and Russell and a handful of others with one that have, you know, three careers worth of rings to win if you're going to do a count the rings discussion to determine the GOAT. Patrick Mahomes had a golden opportunity 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game to prevent Mahomes from getting ring number six. They lost the coin toss, never touched the ball in overtime. And he had a golden opportunity last night to make the ring count 6-2. And for a lot of reasons we will get into, Mahomes had the worst game of his career, most of which is not his fault, but history won't remember that. History will not care that Eric Fisher was out. History will not care of Todd Bowles' defensive scheme. History will simply look at zero touchdowns, two interceptions, the first time in his entire football life from high school his team didn't score a touchdown in a game. That's how they'll remember it in 7-1 Brady. So if the football GOAT discussion is not one we can have, here is one we can have. And here is what Tom Brady, as much as it pains me to say, here is what he ascended to last night. He ascended to a level in American team sports that there is only currently, well, there was only currently, one person at. And that level is, I am the system. I am the championship culture. I am the winning. Where I go, it goes. Now, some other guys maybe could have done that. We just never got to see him do it. Bill Russell, for instance, the greatest champion by ring count in American team sports history. Maybe if Bill Russell would have left the Celtics for the Lakers or the Sixers, the winning would have gone with him. But we don't know that. What we know is he was in Boston for 13 years. They won 11 titles. Joe Montana tried it and damn near accomplished it, but not quite. Joe Montana won his four Super Bowls with the Niners, left for my hometown Chiefs, a good Chiefs team, made them a very good Chiefs team, but they got to one AFC title game and never any further with Joe. Favre tried it. Favre tried it. He left the Packers, went to the Jets, had them 7-5 before the wheels fell off there, then goes to the Vikings. Damn near wins an MVP, gets him to a conference championship game, and then the why would you ponder passing play happens, and that's as close as he got. Michael Jordan tried it. Went to the Wizards after a couple years sabbatical. Now we don't hold that time against Michael, and Michael played well, was a 20-point-a-game guy, but couldn't even get the Wizards to the postseason. And we understand he's 40 years old. It's not a knock, but it's the truth. And it's also the truth that with Michael, before Phil and after Phil, there was no winning whatsoever. Tom Brady has now done this outside of the New England cocoon. He has now done this without Bill Belichick. He has done this in his first season with a new team that was the losingest team historically in the history of American sports, with a head coach that was a good head coach, but not a proven championship head coach. So what did Tom Brady gain with this Super Bowl victory? Well, he gained admission to a room that previously was only occupied by LeBron James. The room of, I am the system. It does not matter what shape your franchise was in before I got there. You bring me in and we are competing for championships immediately and perpetually while I am here. And by the way, when I leave, everything will go to hell. I don't know if that's how it always will be in New England, but that's how it was in New England this year. Brady also took another page out of LeBron's playbook, which was, let me try dabbling in a little coaching. We heard throughout the year, they're installing more of Brady's game plan, more of Brady's offense. And Brady obviously throughout the year took a page vintage LeBron playbook. I'll be the unnamed silent partner that's not silent as far as the GM goes. I'm going to tell you some guys I would like. Hey, there's Gronk. I'm familiar with him. Let's bring him in. Oh, Antonio Brown? He's toxic. Nobody wants him. Toxic for good reason. Well, I'll let him live with me. Bring him in. And so when you look at the all-time greatest athletes in American team sports history, there are now two that we can confidently say where they go, the winning follows. And I do think this reframes the way people are going to look at the Brady Belichick era. Because for some, it will simply become the Brady era. I don't know if that's fair, and I don't know if that will be long-standing, because if Bill has a good run without Tom, then he can reframe the conversation himself. But Brady set the bar so high, even the biggest Tom Brady fans were not picking the Bucs to win the Super Bowl going into this year. Most weren't. I think there were a few that were. I think what you saw was people saying, well, even if Tom's really good, Belichick has time on his side. Belichick's going to coach longer than Brady will. Belichick can control so many different things. I think people were ready for the conversation to be starting to tilt fairly or unfairly in Belichick's favor. But what Brady ended any doubt about last night was he's the system. He is the culture. The winning follows him. And the fact that he went through Breeze, Rodgers, Mahomes on the way to the Super Bowl only helps that. The fact that they were a middling team until the bye, they had the last bye in the NFL this year, and then since then they still have not lost, only helps that. And the firsthand testimonials of his teammates and of people in the organization that said our undying belief, our confidence, our faith came from number 12, and their seemingly immediate blood-like loyalty to him, it only reminds you of one athlete ever who happens to be the greatest athlete ever in LeBron James. And so that is what Brady secured last night. Not a bigger gap between he and Mahomes, because there already was a massive gap. One guy's been in the league 20-plus years, the other guy just got here. What he secured last night is certifying that you can say the winning is about Tom. First, second, and third. And there's only one other team sport athlete we can say with evidence that's true for. So it's Tom and LeBron in a room by themselves. Hope I don't come up in any of those conversations. Coming up next, what did last night mean for Patrick Mahomes? Probably not what you think. We'll do that next. Nick writing for Colin on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Obviously, I didn't play the way I wanted to play. But what else can you say? All you can do is leave everything you have on the field, and I feel like the guys did that. They were the better team today. They beat us pretty good. The worst I think I've been beaten in a long time. But I'm proud of the guys and how they fought till the very end of the game.
So there's Patrick Mahomes dealing with the worst moment of his professional career with a fair amount of grace. I understand the conversation is going to be, in part, what does this do to Mahomes' legacy? Because the tax in American sports of being awesome is a level of dissection unlike anything else in the culture. This is not, there is no discussion if Daniel Day-Lewis puts out a bad movie, like, oh, what does this do to him in the pantheon of actors? We don't do that with, I don't think we do it with musicians. I only listen to talk radio, so I don't know much about music. Joy could help me out there. I don't think we do it with musicians. I know we don't do it with actors. And we don't do it with really, really, really good athletes. We only do it with the greatest of the greats, right? Every game is a referendum. And Mahomes has been so great up to this point in his career that it's fair game to ask, what does a Super Bowl where you score zero touchdowns, where you throw two picks, where you're the favorite and you get annihilated due to your legacy? And while a win here would have been massive for his legacy and his ability to climb the quarterback pyramid, if you watched the game and you are being honest and you have any sense of fairness or accuracy, I think it is incredibly difficult to come away with any take other than there is not a quarterback in the league that would have fared better yesterday. There's not one. That's not to say that Mahomes doesn't have weapons. He has amazing weapons. And it's not to say the Bucs defense is the greatest defense of all time. It's very good, but it's a very good defense. But it's not the greatest defense in Super Bowl history. It wasn't even the greatest defense in the NFL this year. But in last night's game, with that Chiefs offensive line lost from the beginning, with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, two men I have enormous respect and affection for, inexplicably not having anyone help the offensive line on 92% of the snaps, 92% of the dropbacks, they blocked with five. Didn't have a single extra blocker out there, even when it was clear those five could not block the Tampa front. I think it is incredibly intellectually dishonest to ding Mahomes for this one. You can say it's a missed opportunity. You can say, you know, he left some meat on the bone of the season. All of that's fair. But if you watched the game, not only did I not think he played poorly, I think he made two of the most remarkable throws I've ever seen him make. The 3rd-and-11 early, and I will think for the rest of my life, I am going to replay, what if Tyreek comes down with that 3rd-and-11, and what if the pass interference shaky calls aren't made? But neither here nor there. This play right there, when it's 0-0, it looks like, oh, that's a tough catch. Hit him in the face mask. Hit Tyreek in the face mask. He's avoiding a rusher there. He steps up. He throws without planting his feet, sidearmed, in the face mask. And then this other throw, now the game's mostly decided at this point, but it's the very beginning of the fourth quarter. Chiefs scored 21 points in 7 minutes in the fourth quarter last year's Super Bowl. Maybe it's alive. That throw is a magic trick. He is horizontal to the field, and once again, it hits Darrell Williams in the face mask. And I don't know how that's humanly possible, that throw there. But to me, the level of physical agility that it takes to make that throw is the level of mental agility you need if you make last night's game about Patrick Mahomes as opposed to about Todd Bowles, the defensive front for Tampa, and the way the Tampa's offense, by the way, after the opening two drives of the game, went up and down the field at will on Kansas City. Kansas City's defense had been bend but not break for a couple of years and had stepped up in its biggest moments. They seemed to have the wind taken out of their sails after the Matthew pick was negated by a defensive holding 30 yards away from the play. But the defense didn't show up either. So if I'm laying blame, Patrick Mahomes is very, very far down that list of folks who have accountability for what happened to the Chiefs last night. Here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Tired of cooking at home? Change it up without getting up. Just order Jersey Mike's through their app for no contact delivery and no contact at the door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. So obviously the Super Bowl was yesterday, but there were a couple other things that happened over the weekends, like the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021 was announced. Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, and Calvin Johnson were all selected in their first year of eligibility. well-deserved, obviously. John Lynch and Alan Faneca join them as the modern era selections. Also in this year's class is Drew Pearson, elected as a senior inductee, and scout and personnel executive Bill Nunn and coach Tom Flores. I am a Pro Football Hall of Fame nerd. Basketball Hall of Fame is obviously a different discussion.
You're a member. And,
I'm not a member. I have a family member.
You are.
That's a member.
When your brother gets in, but that makes you in. Didn't he say we're all Hall of Famers now? I feel like he said that in his speech. We're all Hall of Famers. You're a Hall of Famer by proxy, Joy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We have a Hall of Famer on set right now, and Shannon Sharp. We're going to talk to him in just a few minutes. I love this. I love this for these guys. And I also love what the Hall of Fame is doing for the class of 2020, who obviously did not get to have their speeches and their Hall of Fame presentation. So they're going to do a multi-day event August 5th through 9th in Canton, where it's going to be an extended weekend enshrinement, so that the class of 2020 will get the opportunity to give their speeches and have their day along with the class of 2021. It's a really amazing weekend. It's pretty cool for fans as well. But obviously, you know, that's a moment that these guys have worked their entire career for. And, you know, to not be able to have that, you know, their speech and their day, you know, is kind of sad. So I'm glad that they're able to do that. And congrats to the 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Also, hopefully Zach Thomas can get in there soon. Just a little note.
There you go. More Dolphins family.
Well,
can I say one thing real quick, Joy?
Yes.
Tom Flores getting in, it makes me so legitimately happy. Before I came to FS1, I did a radio show in Houston. A guy named John Lopez was my co-host. This was his biggest passion project in sports. That Tom Flores is a trailblazer and just based on what he accomplished should have been in long ago. So seeing him get in is great. Obviously, Peyton and Woodson were going to be first ballot guys. And I congratulate the Hall for recognizing Megatron, not making him wait. His peak was so high. The fact that he didn't play that long, I'm glad they didn't hold it against him. So I love the class, Joy.
Yeah, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is the top of the top of Hall of Fames. Not that it's a discredit to any other sport, obviously, but they just do it the right way. So the Patriots social media team wasted no time congratulating Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski on their Super Bowl win yesterday. First to Brady, they tweeted, "Congratulations to the greatest of all time." And then they didn't do a separate tweet. They put it on that thread as to not, spread around the interactions. They also gave a shout out to Gronk and said, "And Gronk, be careful with that trophy." Gronk dented the Patriots Lombardi Trophy 2 years ago when he used it as a baseball bat during the Red Sox opening day festivities. Gronk will be on Speak for Yourself, by the way, today at 4 Eastern. I thought this was a very, very interesting move by the Patriots. And Robert Kraft made a pretty strong statement going into the weekends that, you know, he was rooting for Tom Brady and he's very happy for Tom Brady. I think it's very interesting that the Patriots organization, and because obviously we know Bill Belichick is not running the Twitter page, and Robert Kraft are out here like, we would very much like to exclude ourselves from the narrative that we're not rooting for Tom Brady, that we didn't appreciate Tom Brady, that we don't think he's the greatest of all time. And it's a strange, but I have to feel very, well, I think it's genuine. I also think there's a slight bit of calculation, two things can be true, that they're trying to separate themselves from that idea that they're angry at Tom Brady or there's any kind of bitterness towards Tom Brady at all. Because one day when we write this story, one day when we have the Last Dance documentary about this era and this dynasty, they want to be looked back on kindly.
Well, two things. One is, you just sent a chill down my spine when you mentioned the Last Dance documentary, because you know what's going to be on there, just like it's on there, Tom versus Time? A lot of audio of your old buddy Nick Wright saying, you know what? It's a wrap for Tom Brady, and he's going to be holding the Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah.
And then the next year, it's a wrap for Tom, and he's going to be holding the Super Bowl trophy. Here's the other thing. I'm talking to Queen Petty herself. I will say, if on those tweets, congrats to the greatest of all time. The G-O-A-T are supposed to be capitalized there if you really believe it. It's an acronym. And so the fact that they went all lowercase there, to me, their heart wasn't really in the tweet.
Oh, here you go.
If you really believe he's the GOAT, you're supposed to have the G-O-A-T-L capitalized.
Yeah, by the way, Shannon Sharp is the one that gave me that nickname, Queen Petty, which has stuck with me.
Queen Petty?
Yeah, Shannon gave it to me.
Yeah.
So Justin Herbert capped off his fantastic rookie season winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year on Saturday night. Obviously had a great first season with the Chargers, threw for 4,336 yards, which is the sixth most in the league, and he set the record for most touchdown passes by a rookie with 31. He also converted the most completions and the second most passing yards by a rookie quarterback in NFL history. Chase Young won Defensive Rookie of the Year. I am actually interested in your opinion. I'm assuming that you have no fear whatsoever of what the Chargers are going to do, being that he's in the same division as your Kansas City Chiefs. But I think Justin Herbert is a remarkable player, and I really feel great for the Chargers that they have their quarterback of the future, and he had the season that he had.
Well, I don't have fear of the Chargers, but if Deshaun Watson gets traded to the NFC, it's possible the second best quarterback in the conference could be in the Chiefs division by 2022. Like, it's in play that by 2022, if Deshaun's gone, Herbert's ascended past Baker and Lamar and Josh Allen, if he hasn't ascended past some of them already. So, and by the way, everyone loves Joey Bosa. Is it Nicky Bosa? With Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
Derwin James is an unbelievable player who's just not been able to stay healthy past his rookie season. No, I think the Chargers could be really good. I think I'm not going to dismiss them, and I'm happy with Justin Herbert. He obviously deserved that award unanimously. I know he didn't win it unanimously. Justin Jefferson got votes, good for him, but he deserved the award. There's joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Shannon Sharp won't remember this, because why would he? But I have actually only interviewed Shannon one other time. And it's when I was doing local Kansas City radio. And I think at the time, I just hated him, because he always just crushed my team growing up. And then I finally got to talk to him, and I probably was mean to him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's arguably the greatest tight end ever. He joins us now on the Herd. Shannon, how are you doing, my friend?
Nick, I'm doing well. How are you? All right, Joy. It's been a while since I've actually been in this chair. So it seems like it only happens once a year, and it's after the Super Bowl. Last year, I felt a little better after they had beaten the 49ers, even though I picked the 49ers. But last night was a butt cutting, guys.
Yeah, it sure was. What do you think was the single biggest factor that led to the not just the Bucks winning, but the domination that we saw?
Well, it started with me once Eric Fisher went down and the offensive line, because if you can't protect Mahomes, he can't do what he does. And you mentioned it earlier about Andy loves to do what we call scat protection, which is get all five eligible receivers out in the route. So basically he says, I believe my five can block your four. Well, Todd Bowles says, I don't believe your five can block my four. And guess what? I'm so convinced that they can't, I'm just going to sit in cover two, and you can't do anything about me, anything about it. You're not going to be able to get Tyreek deep, and we're just going to go hunting. And the thing is, for me, is that you can't throw a team out of cover two. You have to run them out of cover two. You must force them to drop that safety down so you can get some one-on-one coverages outside. They couldn't do that, and they just feasted. Mahomes had no time.
So, Shannon, I obviously underestimated the impact of the loss of Eric Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
If they had to do it over again, when Fisher went out, they ended up moving three offensive linemen.
Yes.
They kicked the right guard over to right tackle. Right. They moved the right tackle over to the left tackle, and then they inserted a new right guard. If they had to do it over again, do you think they'd have been better served just putting an inferior player at left tackle and leaving the right side of the offensive line intact? Because it looked like some of the times guys just didn't know who they were supposed to be blocking.
You do remember Von Miller won Super Bowl MVP going against Rimmers at Carolina.
Against Mike Rimmers.
You do realize that. Yeah. Now, Shaq Barrett was on that team, although he did not play a lot. He understood. He's like, this is a guy I can take advantage of. And even Ndamukong Suh turned back the hands of time last night. It was just a matchup where I don't think Kansas City was prepared for the defense that they saw. You could have told me they're going to line up in cover two. They're going to play this shell coverage, and Kansas City is not going to be able to figure it out. But they didn't run the football. They ran the football a little bit to start the third. But, Nick, they got away from that. And you can't get away from – if your quarterback is getting pressured, the last thing you can do is ask him to throw the ball even more.
Shannon Sharp with us here on FS1, Fox Sports Radio, and iHeartRadio. Shannon, here's the, you know, the tough one for you and me. Well, not just you and me, but you and me. You and me are pretty prominent Patrick Mahomes fans. Yep. I don't think it's a sometimes people call me a Patrick Mahomes apologist, and I've said I've never had anything to apologize for.
Right.
The guy's been great from the very moment he walked on the field.
Yes.
How much of yesterday falls at his feet for not figuring it out?
I put a lot at his feet because I felt that he missed some throws early. The throw to Mecole Hardman,
Okay. That's
against cover two.
That
play is not meant to be outside of the numbers. It's meant to be in between the hash and the numbers because it is cover two. So he missed that throw early on. Mecole Hardman, the moment got too big for him. If a blitzer comes off the side you're releasing from, guess what, Nick? You're hot. Turn around, let me throw you the ball. You see, he never looked for the ball. Mahomes threw it, and he didn't look for it. He's like, what? What do I got? So he just I get it. You look at Brady. Brady says, look, y'all going to take away Mike Evans? Okay, fine. I go to Gronk. Y'all going to take away Chris Godwin? I go to Cameron Brate. He finds other – I take Leonard Fournette on the check down. And I thought Mahomes tried to do that early, but he had some guys. The ball hit him in the face, Master, and they dropped the touchdown. You got to make plays like that, especially when your quarterback is struggling. Somebody needs to make a play. Even my guy, my nephew, Travis Kelce, dropped a huge third down. You need to stay on
the – third down early.
Yes, you need to stay on the field. And, Nick, I thought Andy Reid, why would you call timeout on 3rd-and-2? 3rd-and-12, I get.
Okay.
You don't call 3rd-and-2. You don't call a timeout on 3rd-and-2. And you know right before the half, what do Tampa always do right before the half? They take that shot play.
Score.
Did you not see Green Bay last 2 weeks ago? Did you not see the Las Vegas Raiders? Tom Brady's going to take that shot play, hoping to get a big play or a P.I. Well, he got the P.I., spot foul. Two plays later, you get the pass interference, ball at the one, you get a touchdown. So instead of going into half 14-6, you go in 21-6.
Well, so let's stay there for a moment because a lot of my, you know, I'm from Kansas City, mm-hmm. So I know a lot of Chiefs fans, obviously, and they were livid with the officiating in the first half.
Yeah.
And even if you want to dismiss all the calls, the second pass interference penalty, that was obviously an uncatchable ball.
Correct.
It sailed 30 yards over his head. That's a bad flag.
Correct.
Even if you say the other ones are good, that's a bad flag.
Yes.
But the reason I don't want to spend time on it is the Chiefs did that to themselves it felt to me, Shannon, like those timeouts signaled they were a little nervous.
Yes.
It was 14-6, and Tampa ran the ball on first down.
Yes.
You call timeout. That's questionable, but okay, you stopped them for nothing. That second timeout was perplexing to me, and it like was daring Tampa to go down the field.
Tampa wanted to just run the ball, say, we're perfectly fine. We got this team. This team had all these yards. We're perfectly fine going into half at 14-6. Oh, you want to dare us? Okay. Well, we're going to take our chances. We'll see what you got here. And then – but
– that's right.
Nick, I was – all year long, I've been tweeting – about Kansas City, I say, you guys are committing too many dumb penalties. And they blew it off as like, we're winning the game. We're blowing teams out. But what happens when you get in a close game and you commit these penalties? See, you don't really notice them when you're up 15, you're up 17. But what happens when you're down 10, you're down 14, you're in a nip-and-tuck ball game? The guy lined – if you don't know anything, didn't D4 teach you about lining up offsides, Nick? If D4 didn't teach you anything, didn't he teach you that? So you go from getting the 3-point to pulling. Nick, you had a field. Okay, you held them to a field goal, Nick. You're like, oh, okay, good. We got a chance.
I know.
They take the field goal off the board. You give them a first down, and they get a touchdown. Nick, it's over at that point.
Right. And the Chiefs, I've watched every game Mahomes. Well, I've watched every Chiefs game basically since I was 7. But for very closely, the Mahomes games, that they did not have the – swagger or confidence down 14-6 that they had down 10 to the Titans, that they had even in the Super Bowl down 10. It felt like they were rattled, and it felt like the Bucs knew it and seized on that. I want to ask you this before you go. For Brady, what I said earlier, Brady now joins only one other athlete I know of in American team sports, in LeBron, where he can say, I'm the system. Where I go, the winning follows.
Yeah.
As great as MJ was, he only won with Phil. As great as Russell was, it was only with the Celtics. Montana tried it, got close. Favre tried it, got close. So what does it say for Brady that in his first year outside of New England, this is the result?
Well, you have to understand, Tampa is a lot different than what LeBron went back to when he went back to Cleveland. This team was ready to win. They just needed a leader at that position to show them how to win. I believe they would have been a wild card team had Jameis not had 35 turnovers. The difference was Brady had 50, had maybe 13, 14 turnovers, which he cut that in half. And Brady understands, the thing that you got to love about Brady is that he understands moments. He understands that in games of this magnitude, turnovers, you pay a double price. And so he's unwilling to take unnecessary risk with the football. And that team, you look at that Tampa team, and I said this before, Nick, talent, if you look at player for player, Tampa's more talented than Tampa Bay. I mean, than Kansas City. You look at, see, people get caught up Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek. And they think that's the entire
top of the roster.
Right. Yep. The top, like LeBron used to say, we top heavy as bleep. But if you look at the totality of the roster, you look at player for player on defense, and you look at the offensive line, they make it seem like Mike Evans and Godwin and AB and Gronk, like them some bums. Those are legit all-pro players. They just needed someone to show them how to win. Guys, you need to do this, this, and this. We can't make the mistake. They go from being the most penalized team to now they're somewhere middle of the pack. They cut that out. So Andy's going to have to do a better job of these penalties because either you're coaching it or you're condoning it, but it's going to hurt you in the long run. It will eventually come back to bite you in the butt. But, Nick, they can play this game again tomorrow. They can play this game next week. They can play it in Africa.
They can't block them.
They're not beating them because they can't block them.
That's the problem. They can't block them. That's right. Shannon, before you go, I want to tell you one thing because I've said it privately. I want to say it to you because you and I don't get to talk that often on different coasts. For almost my entire adult life, the best Hall of Famer turned broadcaster in all of television has been Charles Barkley. I think over the last 18 months, it's become Shannon Sharp. You are an absolute gem. You are a fantastic asset for the network. It's a pleasure to call you a colleague and a friend. Thank you, Shannon.
Nick, I really appreciate that. Joy, good to see you again.
You too, Shannon.
Absolutely. There is the great Shannon Sharp. Coming up next, the real taunting of Brady last night was not done by Tyrann Mathieu. We'll tell you who it was done by.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It is The Herd. Nick right in for Colin. And we're going to get to, Colin usually on Mondays does where Colin was wrong, where Colin was right at 1 o'clock Eastern. But there's now where Nick was right. There's only where Nick was wrong. We're going to do that in about 10 minutes. This was the perfect storm of awful for my takes, my favorite team, the bane of my sports existence, Tom Brady and the relics of the Patriot era, and maybe most notably, more so for my children than for me, my finances. Colin always says the kids who are the best off are the kids who had to pull themselves up from their bootstraps. Now, kids that had to pay their way through college. But, I was going to be paying for my 15-year-old to go to college. She now is going to be on her own for that, but, maybe she'll be better served for it. But there was a critical moment, and Shannon and I just touched on it, at the end of the first half that I still don't understand. And it's not Tyrann Mathieu taunting Brady after a touchdown. It's Andy Reid taunting Brady after a rush for 0 yards. With 55 seconds left in the first half and Tampa having one timeout, Tampa ran the ball right into the line of scrimmage. They were going to go into halftime up 14-6, totally satisfied. And Andy Reid called timeout. And now you can say, okay, they held him to 0 yards. It was 2nd and 10. They want to see if they can get the ball back with like 40 seconds. Still very risky because you're going to be using all your timeouts just to get the ball back. But then on 2nd down, when they complete that pass that you just saw, to call timeout again on 3rd and 2 is just tempting fate. And I know Chiefs fans are upset about the two pass interference penalties. The first one, their feet got tangled up. It's a tough call, but that's a call that gets made. The second one's a bad call, fine. But even if the second one's not made, The Bucs are going to get a second shot into the end zone. And if they don't get that, they're going to get a chip shot field goal. So I just, the Chiefs were going to be down 14-6, getting the ball right off their best drive of the game, even though they didn't score points or score a touchdown on it. They'd gotten in the red zone. For them to give Tampa the opportunity to be up 21-6, which is what they ended up going up, was just, I mean, daring the GOAT to beat you. And if you're a Chiefs fan, very sadly, he did beat you. Where I was wrong, everything next.